It is 8:34 here on The Breakfast Club. It is time right now for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And hopefully, after our phone system going a little batty, we've got Cynthia and Janet on the line. Cynthia and Janet, are you both there?
Yes. We are. I'm here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to have you both here. Yeah. I had my doubts a few minutes ago. When
well done, persevering.
All the lights just started to blink at once. So I have no idea what that was.
Is it Mercury in retrograde this week? It sure feels like it.
There's all sorts of stuff going on, but your culprit is the planet Uranus, revolutionary planet Uranus.
Well, let's
those
go.
Computers.
Let us go to the front page of the Lakeville Journal, and there's lots of pictures on the top of the Housatonic FFA having their, of course, incredible store, which is open right through the 23rd. Then the Canaan Fire Company, their parade of lights, and they even changed it this year, Cynthia, where they lit up all the storefronts as well.
It was super festive in North Canaan the other night, and actually it's a twofer on that Housie FFA holiday shop, because not only is it the students and their wreaths and trees on out in that photo, but they're on a float, and they were one of the first trucks to head out as part of the parade of lights on the 28th, which was sufficiently chilly to make it feel like the holidays, and there was just enough snow on people's trucks and wagon beds. Very festive, and Brian Allen, the fire chief, delighted that it wasn't snowing actively at the time of the parade, as had been anticipated, and tons of trucks. I think there are fewer parades this year. Certainly there isn't one through town. I don't believe there's one through town in Salisbury this year.
Or Sharon.
And, of course, Salisbury has the fire company is doing craft fair and Santa and a tree lighting at the firehouse this Saturday.
Yeah.
And Sharon is doing its tree lighting and events at Sharon Historical Society and Library on Saturday as well.
Yeah, and they also 1,200 luminaries will be around the green in Sharon.
It's so beautiful.
It really is amazing. And, a $10 donation each, that is a great fundraiser for the ambulance squad here in Sharon. But we've got two other stories that are big stories. I'm going to start off with the one, and that is the Sharon Playhouse. As I said after I got the press release the other day from the Playhouse, exit stage right. It's sad to see the two guys that really brought the Playhouse back and made it a financially stable organization have tendered their resignations, and they're moving on.
And did so much more than that. Really took that theater on as though they had started it themselves, as though they owned it, and were tireless during all of COVID and trying to figure out ways to get people into the seats. It would have been very easy for them just to walk away, and they never did. And it is really a shame that this has happened. And they were pretty mum about it for our article. And I guess, life is what it is, and human relations are what they are, but it'll be very hard to replace them.
Well, that's exactly right. And it was the same with me when I actually called them. I said, we're gonna miss you in more ways than just the Playhouse, because they really added a lot to our community. So
I think we all kind of fell in love with both of them.
Yeah, we're going to miss them. The other major story, and that is the story on the nursing home outbreak. And even though, once again, that wave of that outbreak is over, it takes a long time for everybody to recover from that.
I'll just say, every time I leave the house, somebody says to me, there were 8 deaths a year and you didn't report it. And so we did, first of all, report it. But second of all, if everybody already knew about it from Facebook, what we're trying to do with the Lakeville Journal is take a little deeper look and stop. And what we did was examine the numbers, examine why all the other nursing homes were saying they had no cases. But we're also, I think that one thing that people forget is we're reporting on COVID almost every week at the schools and in the nursing homes and in the community. And one thing that we've noticed is we saw this at Sharon Healthcare Center last year when they became a dedicated, by the state, COVID destination. And people were so horrible to the people that work there. And what we're trying to remind everybody is these people who work at these facilities, they're our community. They're our neighbors.
Yeah.
And maybe stop and take a little minute to think about what you're saying when you act like GEAR is somehow failing in their duty of care, which our general sense is that's not what's happening, that it's more complex than that. And I highly recommend people go back and look at Deb Alexina's article a couple weeks ago, where she really broke down the numbers and talked about what's going on. And a reminder to everybody, GEAR is trying very hard to rebuild that nursing facility, which is where the deaths happened. And this is a great moment for us all to go like, oh, yeah, we really need to help. There's not that many retirement and, you know, recovery facilities here. Let's all really pitch in and support GEAR and try to make that a newer, bigger, better facility. So that's my soapbox. Sorry. Deb wrote about the toll that this takes on nursing staff. It's not just the staff at GEAR where there were a lot of losses, but at all of our hospitals, anybody who's doing home care, anybody who's in a visiting nurse association, the firefighters, the ambulances, this is a very, very, it's like a war, as Katie Bloodgood, the director of nursing, said. And there's going to be a lot of long-term damage to people from this, and we're already short of nurses in America, period. Then COVID came. We lost more nurses and caregivers. And let's just hope that we don't lose so many people from the trauma of this experience that, as we all age, that there's nobody to care for us.
Our caregivers, just imagine this, folks. Our caregivers on a daily basis deal with life and death. It's just as simple as that, whether they work at a rehab, whether they work in a hospital, whether they work at a senior living community. Every day brings a challenge, and there's enough stress. Just imagine now, almost 2 years in, and the people that drive and run the ambulance squads, the people, they've been dealing with this now for 2 years on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis. That's
and if
how,
I can just throw in one more thing, which is, at GEAR, I would say consistently we get, because, you know, we do the obituaries, we consistently get these letters from families saying the people at GEAR were so great. And one of the things that Deb talked about in her article was a lot of the reason that there were a higher number of deaths is you had a lot of very, very old people there who'd been there for a long time, and the staff became very close to them. So the trauma is not just, oh, there's, you know, like in a hospital, like, oh, people are dying, people are dying. It's like, these are people that the nursing staff had a relationship with, and it's a very hard thing to watch somebody die from COVID.
Then you've got a joint story right underneath that, finding ways to keep trauma at bay, and that's I think all these businesses and all these ambulance squads are doing that on a daily basis.
Let's hope so. And Marietta Whittlesey, who is a therapist in Lakeville and does a lot of work with trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder, talking about some of the ways that you can look out in your loved ones and your friends and just kind of see if there are signs that there's trauma and maybe they need to work with somebody.
And to go with your front page story, I was shocked when I looked at the online version of the Lakeville Journal last night and saw that after almost 20 years, you don't expect to... then the Scoville Library not to have Claudia Kane there.
Right, and you know, people take it for granted because we've had very good long runs for all of our librarians locally, but I would say there was a lot more controversy, and I actually liked the as well, the person who preceded Claudia, but that was a much more challenging staff choice at that time. So let's not take for granted for Claudia to have been there for 20 years and for everybody to love her the way that they do is a big deal. And so we have the woman coming in now who had been at the Beardsley Memorial in Winstead and is a great, they do a ton of events there and adult programming. So I'm sure that she'll continue to do that. And as we know in Salisbury, nobody is shy about telling the librarian what kind of books they want to see. So we are sure that that will happen.
And with the advent of COVID, once again, the additional programs that libraries have now added to deal with COVID that are still around, and the programs that go on at the libraries are now every bit as important as the books that are in the library. And Claudia says in your article that if she's needed to hang around and help out, she will.
Yes, especially for kids because, you know, the kids... school is challenging, and everybody's a little nervous. There's a little bit less play date activity, so it's important to have those kids' activities there.
I want to go on to your story that Lala did about the writer's table. You know, I was unaware of the writer's table until I did an interview about it, and I didn't realize it's been going on so long, and what a great thing that is.
And they were doing a reading. There was like a historical tour through the center of Falls Village, and Patrick was there, and he's walking through the tour. And Lonnie Carter was out, and they were doing a reading at the library. And Lonnie emailed and said, "Hey, what you know, write about our writers reading." And so Leela calls him up, and as he said, discovered there's this delightful group of people, and they support each other, and cook for each other, and read to each other. And Lonnie is, you know, a world class, well known, award winning writer, in addition to being a Lakeville Journal columnist, of course. And you couldn't have a better bunch.
Yeah, it's interesting because I got a call, I think it was 4 or 5 months ago, from somebody that says, hey, you know, they're not looking for members, but this is a story you should just speak to somebody about because it's been ongoing and it really is an interesting thing. And that's the Writer's Table in Falls Village. It really is pretty amazing. All right, let's. I love the picture, by the way, of the work that's going on at the roof at the Salisbury Congregational Church. That is one big roof.
Yeah, I'll tell you. And you know what? I'm having one of those energy in-home assessments from Eversource in about a week because our electric rates are going up. Everything, the cost of everything is going up, actually, and it's inflation. If you've gone to the gas pump recently, the cost of gas is going up, the cost of oil is going up. So, and also, don't miss the half-page ad at the bottom of the page. Sharon Hospital's next community update is December 14th on Zoom.
All right, and out of Cornwall, Infrastructure, the town is presenting their annual report and, once again, their five-year plan.
Right, and as we, one of the consistent stories of this autumn has been the trash recycling plant and trash disposal plant called Mira, which was not maintained, and we have to admire our towns as they do what people think is such boring, like, oh, why are they talking about this, the paving and the whatever, but, you know, it's these essential repairs that are done in time that save us all from losing essential facilities, from losing our roads and culverts.
And you mentioned it earlier, but I want to bring it up again because I love the picture of the dog looking out the, that's on page A6, looking at Lona.
Okay. From Lone Oak.
But there's, you mentioned it earlier, but I want to plug them again about the Lakeville Ladies Auxiliary. They're holding their vendor fair on Saturday from 11 o'clock on. Then they're going to have Santa there with hot chocolate and cookies and on the fire truck. And they're also going to have the tree lighting ceremony. And then you move over to Sharon on the same day where Sharon has everything going on the green. And then after that, and then our friends over in Amenia have really expanded their ceremony in Amenia that includes a day's worth of festivities that start at 2:30 and end with a free movie, by the way, at the drive-in. So, I mean, we're back to normal now where we're having things going on, which is, to me,
the holidays.
Yeah, it's just...
And I'll throw in a quick plug for an event I'm doing, which is on Sunday at 3 p.m. at the White Hart. The two librarians from the Children's Librarian from Scoville Memorial and the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon will be reading aloud Paddington. It's a fundraiser for the Connecticut Coalition to End Homelessness. And all the local libraries have wreaths with little yellow hang tags on them, and you can scan the flow code on it and make a donation to help keep families in their home over the holidays.
All right, let's go to the opinion page. Janet, your editorial now, time for the Nourishing the Spirit.
That's right. Certainly last week with Thanksgiving, we all nourished our bodies and, really had a great time, I hope, as compared to the past year. But now it's time to think about our spirit and, that seems to be the balance of the holidays, isn't it? That we really have to look at both sides of life and, think about what we're going to support as we look at the nonprofits in the area who are holding all these events again and have had a year off from that. We really encourage everyone to look around carefully and support them to be ready for, the next year, January, February, March, where it's cold and they need help with their missions.
All right, and your guest commentary of Fire, Ice, and Hollow Men is an interesting commentary on your opinion page.
It is, and this is from John Swan, who writes for us periodically when he is inspired, and of course a former editor of the Columbia Journalism Review, and always has interesting ideas, so give it a read. He certainly makes us always think about climate change and how it affects us, and he really combines some thoughts in this column that bring it all home.
And once again, a couple of letters, one from the Sharon Playhouse talking about the loss of one of their longtime board members, and also another letter which gives a different viewpoint of someone looking at what's going on at Sharon Hospital.
Right, that's Nat Benchley from Sharon, and he's looking at it from the point of view of New Vance and what they're trying to do to sustain Sharon Hospital, looking at it that way rather than that they're trying to, pull services away just, to save money, but also to sustain the hospital. So he makes some good points, and it's always good to look at both sides. And yeah, Emily Soll and the board management and staff of the Playhouse are mourning the loss of Marshall Swartz this week in their letter.
All right, and a great column that says it all in the headline, The Acquitted Vigilante Should Spare Us His Views.
Right, this is Dick Ollis, who really does not pull any punches when he takes on a topic, and we're glad to have him talking about this one. It is amazing how long ago that seems, doesn't it, that that particular trial happened, how many things have happened since then. But, you know, we need to stop and think about these things, and we will have Kyle Rittenhouse showing up on media and in different venues as time goes on. And boy, yeah, we do wish he spares his views, but likely Dick makes the case that he won't.
Yeah. And Peter Steiner's cartoon is an excellent commentary. But Missing the Old Neighborhood is also an interesting write-up that you've got on the opinion page, the viewpoint pages.
Right, that's from Varujan Frangian, who does his I Am Wide Awake column for us, has for a number of years now, and another one who we're always surprised what he chooses to think about, and really interesting. Take a read on this if you have any memories of your own neighborhood growing up as a kid, or even now. It's fascinating, and he really makes it personal.
All right, we're going to slide back and go to Compass, because you got a great article on Stephen Sondheim and also other things that are going on in our region.
Ed Furman didn't obviously know that Stephen Sondheim was going to die. He'd written this column about the two very famous Stephen Sondheim musicals, and it was already in layout when we learned that Stephen Sondheim had passed away. But that's a good journalist for you. He just had some kind of an instinct or something. But it just is a very timely and wonderful reminder of how beloved Stephen Sondheim is and how diverse his work was. So two suggestions for streaming. We've got the... I got teased by one of our editors for calling them edibles, but I don't know what else to call them. The D.M. Hunt Library here in Falls Village has, they're selling artisanal local food, such as maple syrup from the Falls Village sawmill. So it's not like a bake sale. It's just, you know, they're like edibles. But so handmade things, really wonderful. They're not doing their 10x10 or 12x12 art show this year, but they will have this ongoing craft fair. And then the Smithfield Church always has interesting programs, and they're going to be doing holiday programs. Deb Alexinus is writing about Tops Made in Litchfield, and this is something that gardeners talk about, which is sometimes the most beautiful part of a garden is in winter, when you're not looking at the explosion of color and leafage and bloom, when you're just looking at the structures, and when the structures of the plants frame the structures of the building. And so she's talking a lot about that at Tops Made, and of course we have our Tri-Corner calendar with lots of events.
And I want to go to the page B5, because you've got lots of colored pictures there that definitely shows the holiday, but also the story about a long-standing tradition, and that is the Salisbury Winter Sports Association having their ski and skate sale. And once again, they're having it at the Lakeville Host Company, and it's going to be quite a busy day at the host company.
Oh, my gosh, right? That is going to be a lot of parking overlap, but they're going to be in two separate buildings, because we called up and asked them and said, like, you all know that you're doing the same thing on the same day. So this the ski and skate swap is early.
Yep.
I think it's from
8 to 11, yeah.
8 to 11. And as somebody at Town Hall said to me, like, you know, you want to be there early if you really want to get the best stuff. But they have a huge array of used things and new things. And they're in a separate building than the vendor fair and Santa, which will begin at 11 when the swap ends.
Yeah, but the interesting thing about the ski and swap sale, skate sale, is that last year during COVID, they had their biggest year ever, and this year people aren't going to have to wait in line outside. They do have they do have rules and regulations that you have to follow, but this is a major fundraiser for the Salisbury Winter Sports Association, and it is a chance, because one of the most expensive things you have as a parent, I know, when you have, let's say, 3 or 4 kids, and they love to skate and they love winter sports, you have to change
every year. And sadly, no skating this year, but maybe it'll be cold enough that the ponds will freeze for change.
Yeah, so remember what they have at this ski and skate sale. No clothing, but downhill skis, boots and poles, cross-country skis, boots and poles, ice skates, hockey equipment, snowboards,
snowshoes.
Boots, snowshoes. I mean, really, everything to be ready to have fun out there in the snow.
And you get, if you've got any of this stuff lying around your house and you don't know about this, on Friday you can go and drop it off. And then if it sells and you want to get the money, you go back at 11 o'clock, 11 to 12 on Saturday. And if you don't want to pick it back up, you leave it there. And the Salisbury Winter Sports Association will once again sell it the next year. And it really is a great way for you to outfit your family for skating, skiing, snow, you name it. It's just a great way to get them the things they need to enjoy the outdoors in the wintertime.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is, once again, a look at this week in the Lakeville Journal. It's on your newsstands. You can get it at tricornernews.com, like I look at every Wednesday evening. And you can also get it delivered to your house via mail. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good week.
Take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Once again, tricornernews.com on the web, and also, like I said, at newsstands and home delivery via mail as well.